Hey everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar, and I am with Nancy Wilson of Heart. Hey, Nancy.
Hi.
So good to see
you. This is Nathan McMurdo.
That's right.
Your guitar butler.
Your right-hand guy, sitting at your right hand.
That's right. This one here.
Yeah. So, tell me about this Telecaster.
Well, this Telecaster came to me. I used to have roadie guys when they were called roadies back in the roadies days.
Sure.
They'd go like, there are these classic guitar shows coming through the towns we were playing in. They'd be like, check this guitar, you gotta buy this. So I bought some really beautiful classic guitars when I was nouveau riche.
Sure.
In the early 80s.
Good
right?
for you.
Late 70s even.
Yeah.
And this guy's been in my arsenal from the very beginning.
Wow.
Of, you know, this is just like a solid workhorse of a Lake Placid Blue 63 Telecaster.
Oh, wow.
The likes of which, you know, I'm not supposed to take it on the road. Everybody says, don't leave it at home. It's just too priceless. Priceless a gem, you know. But it's like, I can't live without it. You know, a custom shop made me another one that was supposedly the same, and there's just nothing like this one.
Sure.
So this is the one.
And did it come with the humbucker in it, or is that something you did along the way?
It came like this, and it was, so it's not exactly original, I take it.
It's even cooler than original.
A PAF humbucker, though. It's a cool humbucker.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think it's the original bridge pickup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But I think it was pretty brand new when I started beating it up.
And yeah.
Now it's not so brand new anymore.
No, high mileage on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's
thing.
Some love that was put into this guy. But I can't leave it at home.
Yeah.
And the other one, you know, that I finally did retire, the other SG that was a 60 something, 68 or something, the old Gibson SG, but I bought an old one from the 80s, right? This one.
Oh, cool. Okay, let's, yeah. What's
switch
that?
Switch with this one. And so it's almost the same. This friend of mine let me buy it from her, or at least it's on a, you know, 100-year loan.
Yeah, sure.
But this is the Barracuda guitar.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah. The whammy, that's
yeah.
great.
And the Bigsby guy.
Oh, that's so great.
And again, it has to be, I think it's the old molecules and the dirt that's in the guitar that makes it sound that way, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
This one here is a really cool custom friend of my last guitar butler, built these himself. And
oh, wow.
They're called Hard Knocks. But I used to have an original Flying V, one of the in short run Flying V's, but I had to sell it when I was kind of in trouble, financial troubles at one time. So, but I sold it to Rudy Shankar.
Really?
Because he has a collection of them. So I know, you know, where he lives.
Yeah.
In case I ever need to borrow that one back.
Go on to a
but
good
this
home.
Is the perfect substitute. It
oh, yeah.
really screams. It's just, it's new-ish,
yeah.
But it fills the bill, and it's a little bit lighter.
Yeah,
you know, a little more demure, a little diminutive.
Sure.
Flying V.
Yeah, I love it, and I love your homage to, I guess, your puppy there.
That was my previous guitar butler, Jeff Owsley's dog, Carl, and and we're still in touch. And Carl is no longer, but. He wrote a children's book about this dog, Carl, the grateful dog who he rescued, which turned into a book about a dog rescuing the man who is also in turn rescued by the dog, by the rescue dog. So that's a quick little side story about that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then we've got, oh yes, this is a complete storied guitar. This guitar has a lot of story involved.
Wow.
This is a baritone built by Nathan here.
Really?
For me, as a gift. I think he liked my purple boots, and he made a guitar to match him.
Wow.
But and his wife did the painting here.
Oh, beautiful.
And when we brought it to Atlantic City on the last run, the first show, he brought it out there in a soft case to store it with the rest of the rig stuff. And somebody broke into the place and stole this guitar, as well as an old mandolin that Paul Moog plays from, I think it was the 20s, from the 20s.
Yeah.
But both of the instruments were returned. But I hadn't even had a chance to meet this guitar yet or play it yet before it was ripped off.
Wow.
From our gig. And then the police department worked with us closely, and we did a bunch of social media and local news, you know, from the hotel room videos, like, help, this guitar is, you know, my child is gone, you know, my child's gone missing. And then when flash forward to a few weeks later, I was invited to play Barracuda with Chapel Roan.
Oh, how cool.
In New York.
She's fabulous.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she
is. And her band is kick-ass girls.
Oh, great.
All girls are
kick-ass.
Oh, how
cool.
All of them. And so she plays it in a lower key than we play it in. So it's like, let's break out the baritone for that.
Oh,
and so,
great.
This guitar got debuted on stage with Chapel Roan playing Barracuda.
That is too cool.
Key.
Wow,
yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Yeah, I imagine a stolen guitar like that is pretty easy to identify. It doesn't really blend
well,
in.
Well, the guy, probably, you know, a crackhead or something.
Sure.
He was a tweaker, some kind of tweaker. Yeah. He was down on the boardwalk and approached an old lady and showed her this guitar. Do you want to buy this? And she's like, how much? And he goes, I'll take 4 cheesesteaks and $20 or whatever. Was it $20?
$40
and a cheesesteak. $40 and a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sold.
And then the cops found out immediately, and then we got it back, you know. But
that's great.
This guitar has some stories
even
before it
started.
Yeah, brand
new.
It's never even... It's already, you know, it's like, it's a wild and a woolly guitar because it's making stories everywhere it goes.
That's great. So Nate, what pickups did you put
it's
in?
Fishman Fluence pickups.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anything special you did? Oh, yeah, left bridge.
What's it's got the Evertune bridge.
Evertune.
Yeah, so you can set it and hold it in tune.
So I guess you don't even have to tune
this. Yeah, I know. It's
making your work that much easier.
Exactly, thinking ahead.
It's like a science project that I do not understand.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how the Evertune system works on this thing at all.
Nancy, you drive the race car.
But it
you
sounds
don't have to build
good,
the race
right?
car.
Yeah, I don't build the race car.
You just drive
That's
it.
That's exactly what it is with me and Tech Talk. But this is a sweetheart.
Oh, I love it.
Just coming in. Just coming into the fold.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. That is... Very
then,
cool.
Then there's this, another very specialty guitar.
Yeah.
When Martin and me, the Martin Company, and me worked on a signature guitar together for the one my main stage guitars, they said, what would Anne like? You don't want to surprise her with a model. And so I said, yes, let's do this guitar for Ann Wilson.
Mm.
So it's got stars and all the planets in the solar system down the neck.
Love it.
And the sun is up here, you know, that shines on the solar system and in the stars in the heart-shaped hole. It's
That's
just a
great.
Gorgeous, there's only two that exist in the world.
You and your sister have,
and we have
all of them.
You've got all of them. The we have all two of them.
On this Magic Martin.
And it's really cool. They're kind of, you know, they're kind of aurora borealis.
Oh, I love it.
Colorful, luminar kind of stars.
Beautiful.
They sound really good.
And I love that you got Saturn on the 12th fret. That's
Saturn.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Saturn is returned on the 12th fret.
That's great. So which one? It looks like a
35? Yeah, this was my signature guy.
So which one do you do Crazy on You with?
This guy. There's my Heart with the Wings.
Oh, I love it.
Signature and the Pisces which is my birth sign, Pisces up here. And what I was searching for was a three-piece back, kind of a Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Neil Young style.
Yeah.
You know, late 60s sounding type of a setup.
Right.
So this has that tonality, and it has the feel and the sound of the late 60s.
Oh, that's guitars. Great.
Yeah, that's so what I was looking for.
I remember back in the day you did Crazy on You with that with that Ovation, which I imagine played kind of like a truck. Like, those are difficult guitars.
Yeah.
This is probably a very welcome change.
Well, this plays like a truck, too.
Does it really? Does it really?
I mean, they build them really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't hardly need a tune-up, maybe once every 1,000 miles or so, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Or, you know, 1,000 years. But this is just the solid, reliable, good-sounding, wooden-sounding acoustic.
Right.
And a lot of the Ovations were really great to play, but because they weren't all wooden and stuff, they, you know, the direct sound in particular on an Ovation was really telltale that it was not a wooden guitar.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so there was that little hurdle to usually
and that weird
put it through
back.
An amp or... You know, not only go direct with an Ovation, but this kind of solves some of that.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that sound issue. But
now, when you're playing like Crazy on You, I could never tell if you're. It looked like you're using your fingers and the times of pick. What are you? Do you do that on fingers or a pick? Usually when you're
kind of both.
Yeah, like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Because you start with that kind of complex, you know, classical sort of thing.
I know people are really funny about it. They know it right off the bat.
Oh, God, it's
like, wow, it's like classical gas or something.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's cool. A lot of people on Instagram, like, play it, learn it, play it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's really close. And I never play it exactly the same way twice either myself. So it's like, I applaud anyone who does it, online or anything. But,
Yeah, it's such a
it's a cool piece of music.
Oh yeah,
and you know I learned a lot from Paul Simon as an acoustic player. He did a song called Angie that was a clippy little acoustic instrumental song that I was kind of aping when I did the Silver Wheels song for Crazy on You.
Yeah,
but also Neil Young, who uses acoustic guitar more like a. Almost like a percussion instrument.
Right.
Which I do that too.
So yeah.
He's one of my all-time electric and acoustic guitar heroes.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then we've got, over here, we've got a Takamine guy.
Oh, there we go.
Another acoustic. When I saw Bruce Springsteen I went to New York and with my husband Jeff, and we went and saw Springsteen on Broadway.
Oh, wow. How was that?
His one-man show where he played a guitar just like this.
Right.
And I had to have it when I heard that guitar and saw him use that guitar. It was one of the more life-altering shows I'd ever seen in all time.
Oh, just sure.
Best storytelling and, you know, those songs that used to be big, huge hits on the radio were kind of... all pared down, and the story part of it was insanely beautiful and human to experience it that way.
Right.
In a small little theater like that.
Yeah, a Springsteen show, what I love about it is the pace of it. You feel like you're in his living room and he's just like your friend. So hey, on that Takamine, does that have the cool tube in it?
No, it's got the Go Acoustic pickups. We got those in all the main acoustics, actually.
Go
Acoustic.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then he actually... made a plate to go where the Takamine plate usually goes.
Okay.
So this one's pretty custom. I don't know if they did many like this. But.
So all the acoustics are consistent, same.
Yeah. Same pickup and all.
Yeah, between switching, a lot of guitar switching.
Oh, sure.
And they want the levels and the EQ has to kind of stay at least
In
the same, you know, in the same world as the ones before.
Yeah.
And then this is an interesting story because I was looking for, you know, another, maybe an older Takamine, and this is when Martin got in litigation.
Right.
With Takamine, because they made a guitar that looked like the Martin.
Sure.
It even kind of fooled you a little bit, the way the, right. the headstock looked like it said, you have to look twice.
Yeah.
You have to do a double take to see it's not a Martin.
Yeah, so. From two rows back, yeah. you just assume it's a Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one was a 81,
I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a really early one.
Yeah. yeah. Brazilian rosewood back inside. Yeah. It's wow. Nice guitar.
The rosewood, yeah. you know, you don't find a lot of rosewood these days.
No, like that? Wow.
If it's not sinker wood, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. that's about as technical as I get.
Yeah.
Really oh. nice wood. Yeah. Really good for the brown kind. You know? Yeah. I like the brown yeah. kind and the gold kind. Yeah. And the mother of pearl stuff. Oh, yeah. and the binding.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's okay. kind of my main little group. That's my little guitar family right there.
Sure, that's a beautiful family.
It's a beautiful family I got here.
So, I'll just ask Nate while you're here. So, what amps is she running into?
For the electrics?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Buddha Super 30.
Okay, yeah, I saw two Buddhas.
Yeah, two Buddhas, yeah.
yeah.
So one's just a backup in case something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have Nate doing your, controlling your pedals when you yeah. need them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'll probably trip over them or yeah. something.
And you're just up here rocking.
I got to do my rocker side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'll do the pedals instead. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, now we're with Nate, and he's going to take us through Nancy's pedal board and amps.
Yeah.
Okay, Nate, so tell me what's going on. So you're controlling all the pedals
yeah.
When she's out. What is she got going on over here?
It's Accent Wireless. It comes into the radio Big Shot. The other one, I got a long cable into a buffer kind of in behind the amps in case we had to go to a cable. And then drop pedal. That's mostly off the top of the show. They didn't want to do a guitar change, and it goes to E flat, so we added that drop pedal so she could just keep playing that same guitar and
yeah.
switch to that. And then MXR studio compressor, it's just set like barely on. It's mostly so I can have that little light and know
sure.
I'm getting into the pedal board if I had to troubleshoot it.
Is that kind of an on all the time?
Yeah, it's on all the time, yeah.
Let's hear what that...
What yeah, so this is kind of... That's kind of her all the time sound.
Yeah.
And then this pedal is new. We haven't quite worked it in yet. But what I'll do is with this rev pedal, they came in when we were in Winnipeg and gave us a couple pedals.
Okay.
And
yeah, they're a Canadian company.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, I know the guys. And they came to watch the show and gave us some pedals, and we worked them in now. So I'll use that. That's kind of all the time. And then I'll go up to the blue for a little bit more gain. And it's one spot in Alone where we'll go to the red. And that's kind of our three gain stages, though. It's just that pedal. And then the flanger for Barracuda. And then there we'll change the channel on the amp.
Right.
That's kind of our main sound for that.
So you, so for the most part, you're in the clean channel using pedals, but you do turn, you do change.
That's the only, yeah, well that and the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, so the ocean, I'll put that on, but no flanger, and then flanger when Barracuda comes on.
Okay.
Yeah, and then have this HX Stomp. It's really just there when she'll hit the harmonics. I don't know if I can do it myself, but when she hits the harmonics, I have this plus three. I came across that in Montreal. I'd never seen one before, but it's just like an expression pedal, but on a fader.
Oh.
And so the red button, I can tap the tempo.
Yeah.
And then when she hits the harmonic, I can control that much, but you don't want that. Like it would be, yeah. that sounds kind of lame.
So you just
yeah, so.
Run it up.
And then yeah. just brings it out a little bit more. That's kind of
oh, that's cool.
my artistic moment of the show is I get to slide that.
Your contribution.
Yeah, try to make sure I don't do it too early. If I hear it twice, ah, shit. but whatever. And so that, it's like a modulating delay.
Sure.
I don't know. The mod chorus echo is the thing in this.
Okay.
And there's a couple spots where... adds a little bit of modulation. Yeah. And I almost have it like, can't hear it, but as opposed to. Yeah, there's a couple of spots where we'll sneak that in, and then the only time it actually has delays is it's just on the harmonics and the solo that she does in Barracuda.
And the rest of the time, just straight.
Yeah. And and then it goes into this tilt, and it's nice as a tech because I can. I don't know how much you can hear here, but sweep.
Yeah.
The tilt of the EQ. Right, yeah. So some rooms are a little darker or brighter, and so we can just tweak that a little bit, or if it's like the Tele compared to the SG.
Sure. So are you changing that per guitar?
Sometimes. Usually it's kind of here, and then if it sounds a little dark, I might brighten it up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it mostly sits right at that point. This side I don't use.
And I know there's three settings on that toggle.
Yeah, I got it on half.
Okay.
Yeah, so the pedal's upside down, but
yeah,
they're sitting closer to us.
I have that same pedal. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. Yeah, it makes it really easy. Instead of trying to be like, which frequency should I bring up? I can just tilt it a little bit if I just want it brighter or darker.
Yeah, apparently the tilt section of that was so successful that they've just released a solo just tilt without the
Yeah, I was talking drive. About that because that gave me a little bit more room because I'm using the one half anyway.
That's right, yeah. Quick, send them the other tilt.
Yeah. then I got this radial box. She was using a volume pedal when they were doing This Is Now. She was using that purple baritone and a volume pedal. So I ran it out to a spot on the stage using the radial SGI 44.
Yeah.
And right now, they're not doing that song. So I still have that board back, and it's just my backup. So there's a volume pedal and a buffer. And if I had to run a cable out to her, there's like a 50 or 70 foot cable back there, and I can bring the volume up and then switch the channel here, and luckily we haven't had to do that.
But you got to be ready for anything.
Yeah, it's
right?
Ready because otherwise it'd be a long cable to run it all the way back here, and then you know she goes to the far corner, so
yeah,
you need 100 foot quarter inch, which is probably less than ideal.
Right.
Yeah, and then the head bone, and so it's just the two amps. They're set the same. At one time I EQ'd them different, and that's why I got the.
So are you running both amps?
I run them. They're both on all the time, and if there was an issue, I can just press the button.
Oh, okay.
And it'll switch to the backup.
Yeah.
So. Just the bottom one runs the whole show, assuming nothing happens, and so far been sure. Lucky that way too.
And what cabinet are you running into?
It's a Orange 412, and we had a couple of speakers blue in it, and so it has Celestion gold speakers in it now. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What strings are you running?
It's 10 to 46 on the electrics.
D'Addario.
Yeah, D'Addario XL 10 to 46. Those ones.
Yeah.
And on the V, because it's half step down, using the 11 to 49.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the electric setup. And for the acoustics, like I was saying in the interview, we started using these Go Acoustic pickups, and they sound really great. I'd heard about them. It's Paul McGill, a guy in Nashville here.
Sure.
That makes them. And when we were here, I don't know, the beginning of the year, February.
Yeah.
I went and checked them out, and he put one in this Takamine. That was the first one.
Yeah, took the tube.
He had we were in rehearsals and they were added sand, which needs a cutaway, and all of our dreadnoughts, there's no cutaways, and I was hanging out at his house and well, can I borrow that Taylor with the cutaway, and she loved the sound of it. And so then that night I was like, can you put it in this Takamine? And it was difficult, but he did it overnight, which was super cool. And then we used that for her solo guitar moment for Edward.
Yeah.
And it sounded great, and then it became, let's try to get the that standard. Sound with all of them. And so now we have all of these four, the four main that are getting used, all have that pickup. And then it's just straight out of the Axient into radial JDIs.
Huh.
And then so up to the board.
So no effects?
There's no processing at all on them. Yeah. And even I was looking at the EQ up front, and there's almost no EQ on them. They just sound great. And I got Paul to do them without volume controls. So there's no way to bump it. It just is what it is. And then
bulletproof.
Yeah, did one yesterday, went by his shop. And the crazy on you, we added the mic on a volume control. They had it, he put resistors in for the volume and mic. But for tuning in an arena, especially Magic Man, where they get that low Moog thing going on.
Right.
Your tuners are like, having a mic in the guitar makes it difficult.
Right.
And so now I got a little mic control, so I can go 0 to 30% and okay. Tune quieter.
Speaking of tuning quieter, is that what this is?
That's what this is for too, yeah.
So for y'all, I don't know if you can see this, but it's a humbucker that's running to a tuner, and you just put the acoustic next to it?
Exactly, yeah. So if I'm bouncing around on that, then I got this tuner over here, and I can just walk up to it.
And even with a loud stage, will it?
Yeah, because it's not being affected anymore, right? So when you have a piezo, the guitar's vibrating and it'll pick up what's going on. Or if you got a mic, then you're really fighting it. But because this is magnetic, it's just like how it works on an electric guitar, right? And you can just walk up to it. I don't know if there's a way to show you it nice. I'm sure lots of people have seen this, but
I've only seen that one other person do that, and that's
So
it's such a clever idea.
And it doesn't matter. Like, I used to have it more up here.
Yeah.
But works just fine right up by the nut, because it's just picking up the oscillation of the string.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It works so good. And so much of the show is acoustic guitars.
Right.
And a lot of, like, the way she plays that.
Yeah.
It's really got to be in. It's a lot of the same, a lot of sus chords that get pretty crunchy if they're not right on.
Yeah.
That's the job. It's got to be in either way, but you really...
Yeah, right. That is your job, Nate. Yeah.
So, I've had that for a while. It's just like, I can't remember what the pedal was. It was some MXR pedal, and Dremeled it out and shoved the pickup in. I've seen someone else had one, and so I made one too.
It is a clever idea.
Yeah, it works great. Like, it's a panic if you don't have it.
Oh, God, yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah.
If you're trying to tune and can't.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, if they're bouncing around. What will happen is it'll just kind of be unstable just at the top there, right?
Sure.
You just want it to stop.
Yeah.
Right? But with this, it stops. So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Nate.
That's pretty much it for what I got back here.
Well, very cool. Well, we're going to go talk to the Ryans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Pleasure, man.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Hey, now I'm with Ryan Waters. Ryan, hey, man.
Hey, man.
Good to see you.
You as well.
Okay, tell me about this. We were talking about it before the camera rolled. This is the Sly Stone in your collection.
Yeah, it's a 72 Telecaster. I got it in New York in the early, mid-90s.
Oh, back when they were still affordable.
Yeah, actually, I had four guitars stolen out of a station wagon in front of CBGB's.
Oh.
And I took the insurance money and bought this.
Oh, nice. And did you buy it like at Manny's or one of those... Right.
Everything
was right on that one street.
At Chelsea Guitars, which is still there, but it's now part of Chelsea Hotel. I bought it there.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it looked pretty new when I got it. It's all been gutted and swapped out. It had the mother of pearl pickguard.
Sure.
But yeah.
So you changed out the pickups from those. Or are those the original ones?
No, these are. I think they're Lindy Fraylin's. I got them.
Oh, cool.
20 years ago when those were. Patch it, and they still sound great.
Yeah.
All the
some noble
stuff.
Battle scars.
Yeah, man. All legit, but this has been on every gig with me. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. So, is this like your number one go-to?
Yeah, and it's a hot rod. It does the kind of split thing and all of it. And it, the reason I love these pickups is they do split really well.
Oh, really?
On this gig. You know, when you can use multiple guitars, I don't do that much.
Sure.
But you know how it is. When you only got one guitar, you want it to kind of cover all the bases.
Sure, in the heat of battle.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this one does it all.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, let's hear this thing a little bit.
I can do this, talk about the split thing. Yeah, it splits really well, so, it'll kind of... And then you can kind of, get... So it cleans up really nice. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Just for the record, you didn't like step on any pedals. It just, that cleanup just came from the volume going.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I run my amp. That's my clean signal. So. it's pretty
that's
dirty.
Hard clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that sounds
so
great.
So I use my volume a lot.
Yeah. That's great. So do you use it? I see you have a Dunlop volume pedal on the floor. And kind of a combination of that and the volume on the
guitar.
Yeah,
I don't, this is either on or off. It's just more like a mute switch.
Sure.
And then it's usually on the floor.
Yeah.
Everything else is here.
Yeah, you're a moving target. You're not right. By the pedal board the whole time.
As much as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love that. Okay, let's see the next one.
Yeah, and then this is just kind of a derivative of the main one, just something I've slapped together, and it's, you know, it's got 22 frets. I think it's got the same pickups in it. And it's just kind of, you know, the same kind of thing. And plus I can get the Bigsby thing happening.
You got the 5-speed.
Yeah. And this Bigsby will... You know, it goes down there pretty good.
So. Yeah, that bottoms out. Yeah. That's great.
And I probably play this one most in the show, just because, you know.
Sure.
And the extra fret sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I love the 20. You need it.
Yeah, I love the 20. I always feel a little weird on 21.
Yeah, me too. I kind of like that. Especially when you get up there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's like, kind of like that D.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. And then you've only got one more, so you're a total telly man.
Yes, I am a telly guy. You know, I've got Les Pauls at home too, and. But these are, this is just a, you know, alternate tuning. I won't say which song, but it shouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
And it works for that. And it's pretty.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. So this has the traditional thin line pickups, those big old.
It does. These are the Mojo Tones.
Oh, okay.
Here, which sound great. And they split really well as well.
Okay, can I hear a little taste test of the split on
this? Sure, absolutely. So it's the same kind of thing. And actually when I play it. It's in weird tuning, so I can't play much more than that song.
Yeah. That sounds great.
But this is another one. Actually, when I'm using my main 72, this is usually my backup for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a great guitar.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. You know, I want to kind of go through your pedal board a little bit. Could we hear maybe your other, just so you can.
Yeah.
So you're not know that
I'm
one hand.
One song.
You have a one hand tied behind your back.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So pretty modest pedal board.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah. You basically got clean and dirty.
That's right. And. You know, like I said, my amp is, that's where I start.
What amp are you running?
Friedman Dirty Shirley.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. My favorite amp ever made.
You had a backup as well?
Yes, there's a, like, one of those sort of plexi 18 waters back there. That
just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Which is sounds killer as well. But yeah, so my, you know, that's my... straight in, and I just clean it up from. And
okay, so take me from boot to bonnet.
So, you know, this is just kind of an octaver that gets used once. My phaser is on quite a bit, and especially in this gig, there's so many guitars that I'm just kind of. Getting in the spaces and
those albums are so layered.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much going on.
And it's that is one of the great things about this lineup is that we can, all bases are covered and we can play the most sort of, you know, easily looked over parts.
Oh,
And then it's, you know, it's basically, then there's some tremolo, which I use a bit, but then it's just kind of stack and gain. Cool. This pedal was fairly recent, but
the Keeley Super Rodent.
It's so good.
Oh God, that whole series is great.
Yeah. And you know, I'm kind of the tube driver. I'd keep the drive all the way down, level all the way up, just to kind of juice it.
Yeah.
And this thing has the noise floor is, and it, you know,
nothing.
But just kind of. Just takes it up a little bit.
Takes it to 11. That's great.
As they do.
Yeah.
And then my Deco is kind of my always on. And I use it for a chorus on a couple songs here and there.
Cool.
Which the chorus on these things are great.
Cool.
And then this Moonstruck is my, just kind of my trails, my delay and my reverb at the end of it all. And It's a great, this guy is in Seattle. Him and his wife make really cool pedals.
Moonstruck, okay, yeah. Cool.
I think Recovery is the name of the company.
Okay. And the Rev?
Yeah, that's kind of just another, I step on that once. Just more.
Yeah, just more. Yeah. Less isn't more.
Yeah, absolutely.
More is more.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you know, a pretty modest rig, but it covers it all.
Yeah. These guys got it more than covered. So.
Yeah, right.
I do have bigger boards at home, but for this gig, gets me through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ryan, I'm going to talk to your partner in crime, but such a pleasure.
You're in for a good time.
All right, good. Okay, now I'm with Ryan Warner. Ryan.
Hey, man.
So good to see you,
man. Long time no see.
No kidding. So, for the record, first time I saw Ryan, it was on a CMT award, and you were just like a kid playing with...
Would that have been Leon Rimes, maybe?
Yes, with Leon, and you're playing an SG.
Oh yeah,
just killing it, man! Just doing all this like Albert Lee, Brent Mason fast, and I'm like, who the hell is this kid? It was you.
Who the hell does he think he is?
Well, that's what we said. Oh yeah, that's Steve Warner's kid. I'm like, oh, well, no wonder he's so good.
And you're like, why the SG?
That's my other question.
I still have that guitar.
Oh, good.
Just not here, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Why the SG? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounded great. It sounded like that night. It sounded like a super telly.
Man,
yeah.
Thank you. That was fun playing that back in the day.
Oh god.
I had that in an old Marshall rig, and I got away with that on some country gigs. It was fun.
Everybody on that show. At a telly, except for you.
And I love them. I don't have any here either, but I love them.
Okay, well, speaking of not tellies, look at that sexy thing.
That's a really great not telly right here.
Oh, yeah.
This is a 2014, I think. Gibson did a few years, they did this series called Collector's Choice.
Yeah.
And they kind of would like pick somebody's burst and make a couple hundred remakes of it.
Yeah.
This one is it's like, Collector's Choice number 30 is the series of it, but serial number, we love this. Brian and I love this one because it's 007 is the serial number.
There we go.
And I just, this has been the one that I just found this one, kind of stumbled onto it at Corner Music. Somebody, they were consigning it in there, and I was trying to find a Les Paul that could live in the vault, fly around on flights if we need to, and I could keep this other one safe at home.
Yeah.
And then I got this one just thinking, oh, it'll be the throwaway one. Now I'm going, I don't want anything to happen to this one.
Yeah, right.
But it's mostly, it's basically the way I found it, other than I put one of these Tom Holmes bridge pickups in.
Oh, wow.
I love those. I've kind of, Jeff Sinn and Rob McNally sort of turned me onto those a long time ago. And
sure.
I've been sneaking them into guitars whenever I have a spare one. But this is sort of, ground zero for rock and roll guitar.
Yeah.
But, this one makes it on Magic Man, and of course we do some Zeppelin in the show, so this is sort of the Jimmy Page guitar.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good, and you're always, it's funny, our mutual friend Dave Restrom, you were out with Jewel.
Uncle Dave.
Yeah, yeah. And Dave was telling me, I was hanging with him a while ago, saying, everywhere we went, Ryan would find something.
we had some good luck.
Yeah, he'd like, hey, Dave. Come down here. Yeah.
He's a guy that has that two of everything, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, yeah, he and I had a lot of fun on that gig. In fact, that SG I played, it was the only guitar I used on that tour, era. That was that era, that guitar. And Dave's the only other guy that found one from the same year that had faded the same color brown and everything.
Well, of course Dave did. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. But we had a lot of good fun finding guitars and amps and stuff on that tour.
Yeah, part of the,
how it goes.
The never-ending quest. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, so this is sort of a new favorite. But like I said, it's now I'm going, I should find another one.
Well, you will.
Exactly.
You will.
Put it out there.
Yeah, probably not going to be a 007.
Probably not, but yeah.
If it is, be suspect.
We got a lot of movie nerds around here, so we're all going, 007. Brian calls it the Bond burst. I was like, all right, I'll take that.
That's good. Well, hey, I want to hear this thing before we go to the next one.
So we're at resting point here, so this is just the Les Paul and the Marshall together. Kind of do the thing like Waters where you kind of...
Right.
Or if my hands are full, I can kind of clean it up here.
Yeah.
Like on the double neck, some of the songs I use that on, I got a lot going on, so that's sort of my volume.
Sure.
But yeah, that's sort of the basic.
God.
was pretty rock right away.
Okay, skipping ahead a little bit, what amp are you rolling?
That is a 7300 watt Marshall.
Oh my God.
That, I always like to try to get away with the old Marshalls if possible. Yeah. And I had this 73 that Dave Friedman modded out for me. It's not super high gain, you know, that's sort of the basic thing, but it's like a Jose gain mod.
Right.
And he's got a loop in it. So, but it's basically this Dave Friedman thing.
And what we're hearing there is just basically straight into it.
This is, that's straight in. That's the 7300 watt head with the Dave mod, but the gain's really, I'm not really even using the extra gain.
Wow.
I just really liked it when Dave did it. And then I sent him the spare is a 70, and he did the exact same thing. So we just have two old 100 watts with the same, so Brian can just go back and forth if he needs.
Oh, great.
And it's not a Marshall cab. It's like a checkerboard Marshall style cab. It's a Friedman also I got from Tony at GC over here.
Oh,
the man.
Of course. Yeah.
So
he does a lot of damage.
Exactly. I was actually looking at amps in there, and every head we tried through that cab sounded great. And I left, I didn't buy an amp that day, and I left. And my buddy Jay that was with me that day, he called me and goes, "Don't you think everything sounded good in that cab?" And I said, "You know, I thought the same thing." So we went back the next day and bought the cab. So it's a Friedman cab with the greenbacks and vintage 30s, but Gary out front has just got the greenbacks mic'd up.
So how long has it been since you've been able to, because you're always working, how long has it been since you've been able to run a Marshall on tour? Because most acts are, not doing that.
Like we were saying earlier, we are lucky that we're playing the classic tube amp rock show. Nancy, obviously, she's ripping through those Buddhas and the 412. So for the people that aren't able to, I feel like we're doing it as old school as we can while we can.
I love it,
Real glass and real paper and speakers.
You can hear the difference, man.
Yeah, but I love that. But the last time I've got away with Marshalls on a lot of stuff. The last tour I did before all this started, I was with Jewel, and I was using a Marshall cab, but a blonde basement head.
Yeah.
You know, to
sure
just bring, to, it, down yeah, bring it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was glad that once we got this rolling, I was like, I want to go back to my old the old babies. You know.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, that's just a 73 head there.
I like how cavalier. Just a 73.
I know, right? Well, you know, it's not a plexi, as the guitar nerds are all. You know, those stay home.
Backup's a 70.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's getting close to a plexi. So that's kind of the basic thing. I have this, you know, overdrive situation.
Yeah.
It's a fake Klon pedal, you know.
Okay,
But that's kind of my basic. I even leave that on a lot, clean it up here. Then that sort of takes us to that. You know, so we kind of have, you know, immediate lift off of that.
Oh, yeah.
But this guitar, the whole rig's kind of hot when we run humbuckers, so play a couple strats when I need to really sort of clean it out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, man, I love this guitar.
God. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see what's next. It's an excellent start.
What should we do next?
Okay. So now we're in Strat land. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this one.
This is a Strat style guitar made by our friend Jeff Sin here.
Well, he does amazing work, right?
Yeah. He's pretty awesome. Man. Yeah. He's done and he's taught me most of the stuff I know about guitars. Really? Came from him because he started maybe working on, I had him, when he first started building guitars, maybe 2003.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me his card and I called him up, and then we've been friends ever since. And
right.
Along the way, he taught me most of the stuff I know about guitars, the minutiae.
Sure.
But he makes some pretty great guitars himself.
Yeah.
This actually, I lucked into this from our dear friend Dave Ristrom.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Dave, if you're watching.
We love you.
We love you.
Yes. But Uncle Dave, as I always call him. But yeah, this, Jeff has made a couple guitars for me over the years, Tellies. But Dave had this one for sale, and it was like, he just had tucked it under a bed or something.
Right.
And I saw it at his house and went, I have to have that guitar.
Yeah.
Love the Sonic Blue, the really white.
Oh, right. Sonic Blue. Yeah, totally faded out.
And I got it, and it's been I guess I got it from him maybe in 22 or something like that. And it's been every show I've done ever since. Everything I've done, this guitar's come with. Hence all the pick marks and all that. But yeah, Lawler pickups. you know, 60 Strat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now if we go right to the amp, you know, straight in without the pedals, it's a lot clean. I mean, it's still crunchy, but it's cleaner.
Yeah.
Jeff's kind of got a, I got the trims kind of.
Oh, yeah.
I have one of those Illich plates. It's like the hum canceling thing on the back. So
these are,
Paul has one on his junior too.
So these are proper single coils?
Yeah, these are Lawlers. I love the special in the bridge because it's kind of like when you need to rock, it's still there, you know?
Yeah.
Like
a,
it's still a Strat, but it's still wiry, but not overly.
Right.
But yeah, but the. So yeah, that's this makes it on, you know, this and the Les Paul probably on 3 or 4 songs a piece. And but yeah, I've used this on all kinds of things. It's just sort of the Road Warrior guitar.
Yeah. Okay, and, very sexy. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's next.
Yes. Whatever you want.
Yeah, dealership.
Yeah, let's do the double neck. Yeah. That's always fun.
Yeah.
We had to bring one of those.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah. I really just need an excuse to buy one and I got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, use the
tape. Okay, yeah, I'll use this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
First off, tell me that's not the lightest double neck. You could, like, that's one guitar.
Shocking, yeah. There are Les Pauls.
People think I'm working hard with this. It's not.
There are Les Pauls heavier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually lucked into it through Gibson. They helped me out with it because we were starting this Hart adventure.
Yeah.
And I was watching old clips.
Sure.
You know, and seeing Roger Fisher playing a double neck on like Oakland Cal Jam 77. I was doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And then we added the Rain Song in the set. Jimmy Page played that live.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know,
it made
its way. But yeah, so I talked to Gibson. They said, we have one at the garage. If you like it, you can buy it. It was the day we left for the very first art show.
Yeah.
And I just went down there and was like, please don't be 18 pounds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
I picked it off the stand and went, I just think I got as lucky as I possibly could have.
Right.
But yeah, other than, I put one Seymour Duncan Jimmy Page pickup in the bridge here. Other than that, it's the stock, it's how it came off the stand that day. And it's it's favorite really because it's just fun.
Right.
You know?
How?
Yeah, and we got the, there we go.
It's a good tech.
Yeah, Brian is on the ball.
Yeah, it's like volume up.
It took me a minute to get used to the whole thing of like how high or low to wear it.
I bet there's a real learning curve, like just getting comfortable with
it. It was the first couple days, show days with it, I was kind of like, all right, I need to walk around and get used to this.
Yeah.
Not the weight thing, but just the switching and the pickup switch here and the thing there. Took a day or two for me to go, which one is which again?
Now
it's kind of second nature. I hit the pickup switch on my wrist and keep on rolling. Oh. But yeah, I love this thing. But it's, yeah, just the volume and tone, and then I can sort of go between the full sound of the six string. Then we right to the... It's just fun. I can pretend to be Jimmy Page for 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's bedroom stuff just in front of people.
Sure.
But, yeah, this one's always fun. This makes it on just a couple songs. Like I said, the Rain Song and one of the classic, you know, 70s Heart Jams, Little Queen.
How great to be playing, like, that catalog of songs.
It's really...
God.
It's fun every time.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, that's the stuff that taught us how to play.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what was cool is you grow up hearing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you know how to play it. But then like, I realized how much I didn't know how to play stuff. Cause you go, oh, I think I know how that goes.
Right.
And it's like the version you hear, it's like, I think I know from hearing in the background of the radio,
everywhere
you've ever go, there's something on. But when I really started honing in and listening to stuff, I was like, oh man, this is amazing. And that's a weird little difference that I never expected or whatever. It's even cooler than I expected it to be.
Right, and then to hear Anne's voice, oh my God.
Dude, sometimes I'm going, oh, I can't, I'm like, hooting and hollering, like going woo or whatever in the thing. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that in the mic. People are hearing me.
Yeah, right.
I'm used to being over here just kind of on my own. And I get too close to a mic, but she'll sing something. I go, it's just like we all still are not impervious to that feeling. Oh, everybody yeah. I look over at the other guys in the band or Brian or whoever, and we're like, yeah, she just did that. Yeah. So it's yeah. fun every day.
Oh yeah, I mm-hmm. bet. That's yeah. great.
And she actually, obviously they're both huge Led Zeppelin fans too. Right. And they were both Ann and Nancy, when this came out the first day, I was sitting on the stand at SIR over here yeah. in the big room.
Yeah.
And I thought Ann was looking at me for whatever the situation was, I can't remember. Yeah. And then afterwards the song was over. I was thinking, oh, I played something wrong, and she's looking at me. And then the song is over, and I realized she's looking past me at the double neck on the stand. She just was going, that guitar is so cool. Money well spent.
So, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Okay, well, let's see another one.
Yeah. This is, we just call it the Barracuda guitar because it's actually a parts guitar that I just put together to do that song.
Sure.
And you know Sean Payton here in town.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He
yeah.
put this together for me.
Oh, great. So what is the neck, like an old neck?
You know what? The neck is not an old neck either.
Because it looks like an old neck.
I just, Jeffson paint. He goes, man, he goes, you want me to paint that orange for you like the old ones? And I went, yeah, please.
Yeah, okay.
And he did it, and I had the neck hanging around for a while. It was on another guitar, and then it literally was hanging in my basement for yeah, a while.
Sure, I got a couple of those.
Right?
Yeah.
We all got a few attempts at things.
Yeah.
And then this gig started, well, it started playing, you know, joining Ann's band, Trip Sitter, and then
right.
sort of morphed into Heart.
That had to be a fun band, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, really, the reins are off, because it was like just the four of us and her, and
right.
it was pretty...
And weren't you like co-writing some of the songs?
Yeah,
and,
exactly. Yeah. I sort of came in the middle of the record. You know, they had done a majority of it with Tom when he was in the band, and he wrote the ones that they did with him, and then I came in and day one, joining the band, they're like, cool, you're in, we're making a record, so just hang out in the studio and write stuff with us. So it just turned around and I ended up on the rest of the record.
God, that's great.
Yeah, and then I sort of got the gear and the figure out what I was doing along the way, because I think I started in February and we didn't play a show till July.
Yeah.
So we finished the record.
Just recorded the record, yeah.
And then we got all that done and out, and then, but yeah, Payton was, and I were talking, and I was like, man, I need to do a guitar. I need a Floyd Rose just to do Barracuda, just to have. I mean, I know it's not originally on one and all that, but I like these kind of guitars, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so he put this together. This has a bare knuckle pickup in it.
Oh, sure.
Called the VH2. You know, I was like, well, the name seems appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it. And so this is, but we call it the Barracuda guitar because it's only been on that one song since it's been a guitar.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of been the knock around. We've got Eddie on the back and all kinds of stickers and junk. But yeah, this is our fun sort of, you know.
Yeah, it looks a very San Dimas 80s.
Had to be, yeah. Had to have something like that in the hanging around, you know me.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is our, but our whole sort of. Of course. Still not that hot of a pickup. You can sort of.
Sure.
I don't need to on that song necessarily, but.
Anyway, God, that's great.
Yeah, and then we can sort of do the, you know. You know, and Nancy has it. You know, she's doing it on the Bigsby too, which Nate keeps perfectly in tune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's doing that, so I don't try not to over whammy it. But it's so fun when you get going, you know, on that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, got to have that in the vault.
Love that. Hey, what strings are you running on all your
guitars? I've been using D'Addario a long time.
Yeah.
And since those NYXLs came out, I've been on those and sort of never turned it back.
It's kind of amazing and how long those last, right?
Great, yeah. Yeah. We change more than we probably need to. I like a real fresh string.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been great. Yeah. I have tens on all the electrics that are standard tuning.
Yeah.
Just the regular 10 to 46. We have a couple low tune, like a couple E flat guitars that we haven't got to that I have 11s on those.
Sure.
And I really like the D'Addario acoustic strings. You know those nickel bronze? They're kind of, they look like, you know, those have been outstanding on these Martins I've been using. So we've rolled with those and never wanted to change. So
What picks are you using?
These are We're getting from Dunlop. They're the Herco.
That's the Van Halen approach, right?
Yeah, and yeah. this pick is also. There's a few different Herco picks that Dunlop does. This one's actually, like, if you look on the package, it's called the Holy Grail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not as easy to find sometimes. On the road, a lot of times I'm having to hunt for the Holy Grail ones versus the regular ones.
Yeah.
But this is like they reverse engineered the plastic. The story I heard anyway.
Yeah.
From the original 70s picks that Page and all the 70s guys used. And it's a noticeable difference from the nylon ones. And I just sort of fell in love with these picks, obviously being a Jimmy Page nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
And I fell in love with the pick. And then I also like to use the backside, and these have that rough grip texture. Yeah. I really like that extra little rake sound.
Sure.
So I use the Herco Holy Grails backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen those Keith Urban ones? He just put that little abrasive part on one just for that. Mm-hmm.
I love that sound. Yeah. You know, so many people we love do that.
Yeah.
The Brian May thing and all. But yeah, this, I was like, I went a little of both, best of both worlds, Van Halen, or the Jimmy Page pick, and then the backwards scratchy sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love these things.
Yeah, it's funny because you think there's so many different schools of thought on picks, and some people are like the really thick, no bend at all. Mm-hmm. But then there's other guys who, from that Page and Van Halen school, that go light.
Yeah, if I'm in the studio, I have like Altoids tins with all kinds of, you know, all do.
Yeah.
And I'll sometimes end up with things I never thought I would, like a really thick, these Dunlop, these really thick prime tones.
Oh, sure.
These like the rounded triangle, sometimes on acoustic, sometimes really floppy, like the red Tortex.
Yeah.
And all kind of things in between. But seems like live, I always am happy with the scratchy side of the Herco. Yeah, even on the acoustic.
Yeah.
The other day, our drummer, Sean, was like, I hear this thing on your notes sometimes. Like, yeah, it's on purpose. It's a scratch from the pick.
You're supposed to hear that. You're welcome.
Exactly, that part, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we got. 10-gauge D'Addario's.
Okay. Well, very
and
sexy.
The Floyd Rose.
Yeah. Got another electric you want to show me?
Firebird, I guess.
Yeah. Oh,
We got an E-flat tuning here on a couple things. We're like standard keys on almost everything. Wow. There's a couple songs we went down on, and I had this, you know, I had to get a Firebird in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
They look great.
I love it.
You know, the white is always fun.
The white is so fun.
Right? And this, this one. So yeah, well, I got the.
Oh yeah, how Johnny Winter is that? Man?
Yeah, I know. I wish I could play like him, but. You know, but we got the E flat tuning, so it's 11. It's the 11s with the thick bottom, 52, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
52.
10 to 52. Okay, that's what we got. I told you he's on.
Yeah, your dude is on.
Yeah, but this is we use it. You know, like I said, a couple songs in E flat, but Crazy on You we do in down a half, so I use it on that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's got these, I found this at Music City Vintage here in Nashville.
Oh, really?
And it has these Steinberger tuners on it. It doesn't have the banjo tuners.
Right.
Which I understand, those are like the coolest looking tuners ever.
But these work.
This doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And I put it on, I was like, oh, it's a Firebird that doesn't do the thing. And I know that there's a lot of great vintage ones that don't, I'm sure. But this just sort of came out of the gate. It's like a 2012 USA Firebird.
Wow.
I plugged it in and went great. And nothing's been done to it other than whatever, you know, maintenance out here. It's just it worked better than I even thought it would. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, Johnny Winter, white Firebird guy.
Oh,
have
God.
It,
so. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's that. We only use it on the one song right now, right?
No, you open the set with three songs.
That's right. Okay, so we do use it on like three songs.
Baby Let's Strange, Never, and Crazy.
Crazy, okay, that's right.
All
right. Yeah.
It's pretty clean, actually.
Like, yeah, it's
a cleaner kind of tone than like some of the other ones.
Yeah, especially in the heat, when everything's in the mix. It all sounds really distorted right now, but it seems like when we get all the guitars firing and in the mix, it doesn't read that way as much. But yeah, these Firebird pickups, you know how they are. They kind of got that bitey single.
Like a big telly.
Yeah, so it's kind of got. So it's got that kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, they really do get like a stinginess.
Yeah, stinginess, exactly. But yeah. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, man.
So, got another one?
We got one. I think we have one
more.
We're
doing this until they tell us to get off the stage.
We got the acoustics.
We have another E-flat Strat, and we got acoustics, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's,
maybe just one acoustic.
Yeah, 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 one acoustics.
Acoustic, and then either land on that electric thing you want to do, or go back to one that you want to go through the pedal.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do the acoustic then.
Same, so it doesn't look unkempt.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. It's kempt.
Oh yeah, look at that sexy
D28. Just a little, you gotta, you know, just trying to figure out the vibe on the acoustic thing, and I was looking at all the old Martins, and obviously there's great Ovation footage, and Nancy's played all kinds of cool guitars.
Right.
I mean, insanely cool guitars.
Yeah.
There's pictures of her with the Carina V's and stuff.
Oh my God,
amazing.
I know.
But yeah, and I kept coming back and seeing like the Martin thing, and she talks about the D35. She loves as the Crosby, Stills, and Nash thing. So I felt like it was more of a Martin gig. So I brought this D28 out.
Did you already have it, or did you?
I did have this.
You got a lot of stuff.
I have a few things, yeah. But yeah, I found this at Gruen. This is like a custom shop Gruen model.
Oh, really?
I'm not exactly sure what the differences are.
Yeah.
But this was, I got it maybe in, I think it's a 2018. And I just, of course, it's not quite the same with the sound hole.
Sure.
But I just really liked it, and I found it, and day one wrote a really cool song on it, or at least I thought was really cool. You know how that is.
Yeah.
And it's sort of been, it's been the go-to acoustic ever since.
What pickup are you running?
This has the Bags Anthem.
Okay,
I love that.
Yeah. And you've got access through that little...
Yeah, we cut a little window here.
There we go.
But yeah, Bags Anthem, I keep it fairly, you know, favored to the under the saddle side versus the mic. But I love the sound of this pickup. Every time I've gotten a couple other guitars and I've never been unhappy with it.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, this is anytime I need acoustic, we have another one that we switch just mainly because of tuning back and forth things, but this is the main one. And I used it a lot more with the trip sitter and stuff because we didn't have Nancy there, so I was trying to fake do her thing.
Yeah.
And then now that we have her doing her thing for real, I play acoustic on maybe two or three. Yeah. We do a Zeppelin, we do acoustic Zeppelin, I bring this out. Again, Jimmy Page, you see him with a D28. I was like, all right, I gotta have
that. Right, yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, this is definitely my favorite acoustic. I don't have a ton of old acoustics, but this one just always sounded right off the wall. So yeah, I love this thing.
Okay, love it.
Yeah, love it.
Okay, let's hear about this thing.
Yeah. Another E-flat guitar.
There we go.
And there was another song we do down a half step, and I wanted to play. It felt like it needed a Strat, not a Firebird. So this is a custom shop Strat that I found used, again, at Corner Music. And
came with the EMGs?
I put them in.
Oh, really?
I had the pickups that came with it are great, but I'm used to the other Strat being quiet.
Yeah.
And I've just been in this Gilmore kick.
Sure.
You know, for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I was watching the newest DVD the other day.
Right.
Or what is it from? Live from Circus Maximus in Rome or something.
Yeah.
And every time he puts the red Strat on with the EMGs, I love that sound.
Yeah.
And I was looking at bringing this guitar out, and obviously I bought it because it was the pickups that came with it were also cream. So it had, it already was, cool. I was already buying it because it looked like
you're
Animals
already halfway
era.
There. Yeah.
It's the Gilmore guitar Animals era.
Yeah.
And then I just really wanted to nerd out on it. So we did the EMGs just for this run to see how it worked. And they're it's been working great and they're quiet. And I did the short Gilmore tremolo arm too.
How did you do that? Did you just like chop off part of it or?
You know what I ended up doing is I put one of those Callahan blocks on the factory bridge.
Oh, really?
And I like the way they work. I kind of got hooked on them. The Sin has it as well.
Yeah.
And there's no slop in the arm.
Yeah.
There's like, it doesn't need the plumber's tape and all the tricks. And so I had it on the other guitar. And so I put the block on this one and then noticed it said, well, if you order a bar with it, you can get the short Gilmore length. So sign me up.
Yeah, you know? Done. Yeah.
So we just, we're all fans of him around here too. So I called Paul. And I'll go, what do you think, man? I'm thinking about going full nerd Gilmore, EMGs, the short bar. He's like, do it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So here we are.
Yeah, I'm sure he would encourage that.
Exactly.
So I'm told that Gilmore left, like, I think that on his, it ran on two 9 volts and he left one out.
Isn't that crazy?
Are you doing that?
I'm using one 9 volt.
Okay, same thing.
Dave Graff kind of threw these in for me and he said, man, the 9 volt battery fits perfectly. One of them fits perfectly laying on its back under the knobs. He was like, is that cool with you? I went, whatever you say.
Yeah.
So we just went with the one and it's great. It's got this is the Gilmore set where it has the mid boost and the stuff. I'm not really using that stuff much, but it's just a really nice other Strat to have out.
You should play the alone.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we used it on this is Alone on that song.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of, we sort of do a interpretation of it where it's a bit acoustic and then it sort of kicks in.
Oh, cool.
Kind of a blends into another song and all that. And so, but on that one, I play the solo. So, you know, I just thought big Strat soaring sort of thing, EMGs,
sure.
But yeah. It does have the mid boost.
Oh.
You know, that kind of thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This guitar actually like played too easy when I got it too. So we keep 11 to 52s on it. It's
just
like, it's got big frets and it's like
just
actually,
make it harder.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, it's like a little too slick. So, but yeah, it's really fun to play. And it's the EMGs that keep us quiet. So,
right.
You know, I could go back to the other one still. I'm happy with this guitar either way, but
yeah.
Just living out some fanboyness right now.
Sure, that's half the fun.
Plus, every time I hear Reggie Young playing his Strat in the 80s with EMGs.
Oh, God.
Perfect.
Right. And Vince was, you know.
One of the greatest sounds ever is him on his Black Strat with the S.
Yeah.
That Vince said. It was in my mind too when I did it. So I just didn't go tortoise.
Yeah. No. It's such a, and it's Dan Huff was doing that. Mm-hmm. Luke.
Like, you know, all those guys I love.
Yeah. All those guys.
Exactly. So yeah, that's it on the electrics. But yeah, this one's just came out on this run, and we've just been really happy having fun
love
with it. So yeah.
Okay. Well, take me through this
pedal board.
What's all going on here?
Okay. Well.
We've heard the Klon.
The Klon, yeah. That's on most of the time. Shout out to Fat Belly Sandwiches. They got the sticker on it.
Oh.
So it's not a real Klon. I like to put stickers on my stuff.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
It's not worth a ton of money.
Yeah.
So XTS did the board. Nuke and Barry,
they're
our
amazing.
Favorites. They keep my OCD in check and make it nice and neat.
Yeah.
And I kind of years ago hit on the thing with just turning the pedals off with the switcher because I like to move around a lot and I can sort of walk by and pass by these versus, having to get into all that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But we got the wah pedal doesn't really get used. We have Taylor Dane there.
And why would you not?
Yeah, well, we have these rock star cards all over the place. They're in all our dressing rooms and stuff. And I came in here one day and Brian had her tape there. And it's why change it?
Yeah,
we got Jimmy Page on the rack, too. And then the volume pedal, which is one from Through Tone, you know, Butler.
Oh, Justin sure.
Butler. He did that for me. And Peterson tuner, that's all in line. Everything else is run off of this.
Okay.
This, we have the Digitech drop pedal, which is not getting used. This replaced using the drop pedal. That's kind of like if we get in a jam or if we have to change a key for like a day or something.
Yeah.
So that, and then the overdrive, I got the loop, I got the Klon and a hot cake, which I like. That only gets really added on Magic Man because the rig's pretty gainy.
Yeah.
And I got the Pete Cornish clean boost.
Oh.
Paul and I both are nerds on the Cornish stuff. So
sure.
We keep adding more Cornish things going, do you have this one? I
want
to get that, you know.
Yeah.
But so again, our Gilmore-ness.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's just a regular, that's just really a clean, you know, the rig's crunchy enough as it is, but it's sort of it's a really good just level.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have the...
You know, louder always sounds better.
More
it?
Louder.
Yeah.
More louder.
Yeah, more louder. Yeah.
On that note, there is another button here for the Boss EQ, the Analog Man modded.
Yeah.
Again, just one more louder. But sometimes that's a stack. It'll be like, sometimes I would hit like, if I was in Klon mode, I may actually really... You get both of them going.
Wow.
Yeah.
The sustain on that Strat is amazing.
It's great, right? I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like really we're cranking back there, and that's as noisy as the rig really gets. God. The hiss of the two pedals on.
Yeah, for those of you listening at home, it is loud.
Good loud.
Oh, the best. Yeah. Yeah.
We only have it on like 8.
Yeah, so it's like a jet engine.
Yeah. that's it. So yeah, there's that. We have I got a mod pedal loop here. That's the same Barracuda flanger that Nancy's using.
Oh, cool.
I went, you know, when we started doing the gig and prior to turning into the Heart thing, I was like, well, what is the, you know, I went through all the flangers and I've had a couple that over the years I love the MXR is still a favorite because it's the Van Halen.
Sure.
But when we got this up and rolling, I saw that Nancy was using the Barracuda, Howard Lee's Barracuda one, and I thought, well, I should do the exact same thing. That's the one.
Yeah.
And so we have that for, you know, it's obviously it's on. But it's not, it's kind of airy. It's not too swooshy.
No.
And she's using the flange on that too, and she's doing the intro and all that. So
yeah.
I'm kind of just trying to get the setting like what she's doing so I can kind of.
Sure.
Sort of layer it underneath.
Double down.
Exactly. Yeah. And then so we have that. I did forget we have a Phase 90, but that's not on a ton, but that's really our, you just got to have a Phase 90.
You got to. Yeah.
It's, just so we can go.
Right. It's just a phase you're going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So we have that, and then we got all that's left is the Strymon Volante, which is the delay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really just have the one setting. I've grossly underused this pedal. I could have like a two-knob delay and probably be fine. But we basically have a setting on it.
Yeah.
And then I'll just tap it really fast for a slapback on one song. But, yeah.
So just a quick.
Yeah, just a quick. Yeah. But otherwise, it's just the knob setting.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to work this thing that well. I don't. It's got presets, I've been told.
Yeah.
But then I got a Verb. I have the Dispatch Master. I just use that as a Verb,
yeah,
and it's
great.
A backup delay in case that thing went on the Fritz.
Sure.
And the Cloudburst delay, or excuse me, Verb is super ambient and floaty and stuff. And I don't really use that here with Tripsitter. There's a lot of more trippy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Name like Tripsitter.
Exactly. So that's really a Tripsitter. Pedal, so it stays off in this show mostly.
Yeah.
But I got enough toys.
Yeah.
To keep me happy for an hour and a half. So.
Right. And over there's at the
We have the acoustic rig.
Yeah.
I actually just asked our buddy Jed Hughes. I was like, "What do? You have the best acoustic tone."
Well, he does, right?
I mean, I know it's
here. Yeah.
But
that helps.
I've used some other stuff, and I was happy, but I was just trying to get happier.
Yeah.
And I text Jed and I said, just tell me what to get. And he said, get the UA Heavenly Reverb and get the Grace Alex preamp and you'll be happy.
Huh.
So I just did exactly that.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Oh, that's
great. Go figure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the rig.
That is great though. Like our friend group in Nashville, they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they know everything.
I know.
Yeah.
If I don't have it, somebody else has it. If they don't have it, we can get to Tom. He knows.
Yeah, right.
Somebody will know.
Yeah, somebody will figure it out.
Exactly. But yeah, that's the whole rig. I've tried to, you know, I'd like to say I keep it simple, but this is a lot. But it's kind of really not a lot on at once.
Yeah, and you guys, I mean, these albums are so just rich and deep tracks, man. So.
Yeah, and I listening through like the flanger, you think it's just Barracuda, but there's flange and Magic Man on a couple spots, and I can actually find some places where it's actually appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much fun like ear candy on those on those records.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I try to keep as much off here, and we're just kind of running guitar and amp a lot of the time. Mono, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marshall in a cabinet.
Yeah.
Paul's got the stereo spread like.
Oh, really?
Sorted. So I'm like, I'm just going to go up the middle.
Yeah.
And see, hope for the best.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Paul with the whole keyboard thing too. He's covering a lot of ground.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's all. That's really what we got.
Well, Ryan, hey, man, it is so good seeing you. Great hearing you play.
Man.
A huge, huge fan.
Man.
So, Heart, check them out. They're coming to you.